Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being great. Thank you for being patient. God, you are stretching us in this season. You are requiring things of us that we did not even believe we were capable of. And God, you're putting these new requirements on us and then telling us that we're more than capable. Forgive us for doubting your all-sufficient demands. Allow us, God, to continue to move forward in a way that is pleasing, not holding anything from our past that is going to hold us back. Thank you, God, for your word. It is life. Cut us where we need to be cut this evening. Cut away everything that's not of you. Allow me to teach in such a way with such precision that, God, transformation is immediate. Give me the strength, God, to say what is necessary. Open our ears, prepare our hearts, and strengthen our feet to work. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tomorrow you will all wake up in the day that doesn't exist. Y'all gonna catch in a minute. Tomorrow's the 29th. February only has 28 days. Tomorrow you will wake up in a day that doesn't exist. Don't take that day for granted. I literally want y'all to think about what you're going to do in the day that only shows up every 4 years. It's an important reality. Amen. How you handle your tomorrow is going to set a tone. Amen. Hebrews, we are still dealing with our second series as we handle the power and the efficacy of his name, demonstrating that Jesus is greater than everything. And in Hebrews chapter 1, we see verse 4. It begins to say, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent what? He has inherited a more excellent name than they. Goes on. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I'll be a father to him, he shall be a son to me. And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. And that's where we ended on Sunday. Let all the angels of God worship him. Now, the power in that statement, as you see it there, is the angels worship. Just think about it for a minute. You got angels covered in eyes, angels that have six wings, angels who are powerful enough to remain in the presence of God day and night. Angels who will announce the coming of the Lord. Angels who literally oppose. If you read the book of Revelation, there's an angel who whoops the devil. Jesus don't even get involved until after the fight's over. Think about that for a second. Jesus' crew is so serious that he sends an angel to whoop the devil. Because what I got to stand up for? Right. And so if the angels defeat the devil, announce Jesus, worship around the throne, have all of this power and all of this authority, and yet they worship, what should we be doing? Worshiping. And I showed you guys out of Isaiah 6, and we won't turn there, I began to look at on Sunday what that angelic worship looks like. And I told us that it begins with, and all of this should be in your notes, an awareness of yourself. It begins with an awareness of yourself. You have to know this is who I am in view of who he is. Spoiler, you're always going to be less than him.
Always.
We have these six winged angels in Isaiah 6. With two, they're covering his face because, you know, they're not going to look at God. With two, they're covering their feet because they're not even going to put their feet down where God is. And with two, they fly. They're not even willing to land in his space. Think about that for a minute. And the more I think about it, I think about military analogy. You know, if you have a plane and it's flying over restricted airspace, right? You got to ask permission to land. You don't just get to land when and wherever you feel like. You got to ask permission. So literally, God doesn't give the angels permission to land. Think about that for a minute. And we think we got permission to do whatever we want. We talk to God any way we want. Huh? We come into his sanctuary any way we want. We treat his things any way we want. And he won't even give his angels permission to land. Think about that for a minute. We tell God when we're going to worship. We confine worship to things that God's not even interested in. Now we're about to have a time of praise and worship. Think about that for a second. That don't even make sense. No wonder folks manipulate people to give. Because we didn't tell them it was worship. Okay. So we've confined praise and worship to the start of service to the singing. So we didn't tell people that when we come for communion, we're in worship. And the only time that we like to throw that language around of being in worship is when we're trying to rebuke somebody. Which means we've now used that as a hammer instead of using it as a time of love. This is worship, right? And so when you use it like a hammer, even giving feels painful, right? I don't have pain when I give a gift to my wife. I don't come in like, oh, flowers. Jeez. Can't believe I had the bodies. Come in like, you know, flowers in tears, like, oh. It don't even make sense. So why does it pain you so bad to give to God? It shouldn't. The reason it pains you so bad to give to God is because, and I'm going to get to this, many of us have Cain-like worship. I'll get there. You worship like Cain. Instead of like Abel. Okay, let's keep working. So as we deal, we have to understand, y'all okay in this room? That worship is what God is looking for. Turn to John 4. This is where I ended Sunday. Worship is what he's looking for. Some of this other stuff, I heard an individual today, I'm going to take my time, I'll get as far as we can. Heard an individual today that says, you cannot transform somebody with the spirit alone. I said, in order for somebody to be transformed, you got to hold their attention with entertainment. This is why we got the issues we got now. And so, during his sermon, instead of just preaching the text, he decided to bring a stack of Playboy magazines onto the platform. Probably out of his own personal collection. My guy. Probably so. And they call him being relevant. We got the word. Don't play games up here. to be a time where people wouldn't even walk across the desk. Well, that's too legalistic. Well, you know what? Some of that, during some of what y'all calling legalistic, people were holy. In John 4, it says, we're going to start at verse 19. This is the woman at the well. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Now, this is her response after he done checked her real good about all these husbands she got. Right, read her real good. Like, that man you with right now, he ain't your husband. Them last five, them wasn't your husband either. Her response, "I perceive that you, sir, are a prophet." Now, let me help. Let's go deeper in this. I would like to argue that if more people had this woman's response, you could get more from God. Because let me tell you the way that we normally would have responded to that. Who you talking to? Or, no, not me. You would have lied. Right? Because watch this. You allow your embarrassment in the face of truth to keep you from the benefit that the truth gives. So she could have said, "No, you're wrong. That's how we do. You're sitting in service and you know that word is applying to you, but you choose to get offended instead of say thank you. That was for you, huh? You just heard me, huh?" So you have people, Pastor, when you're up in the word and they all offended and they are all mad, the truth is they should thank you. Because, wait a minute, I would prefer to get that cut from somebody who loves me than to be kept out of everything God has for me. Okay? So she says, "I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get offended." She says, "I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers," now she still ain't all the way there, verse 20, "our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And you people say," you people say, don't that make you feel some type of way? "That in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Because she's a Samaritan, she's talking to a Jewish rabbi, and now she's getting into a conflict with him about where worship is supposed to take place. She says, "Listen, we worship over here, and y'all think we're supposed to worship over there." And so she's talking to God, she just don't know it, huh? And she's getting into a debate with him about legalism, about the place where worship is supposed to take place. Y'all with me here? Jesus says, verse 21, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." He says, "I don't care where." She's into the legalism, right? Is worship supposed to be fast or is it supposed to be slow? Huh? What's the worship genre, right? What does it look like? What's the denomination? What you supposed to do? Do you dance or do you not dance? Can I wave my hand? See, that's not the substratum of worship. Worship is who I am in relationship to who he is, and then the acknowledgement of who he is out of my fruit producer. That's my mouth. She was like, "We were supposed to worship in the mountain. You say you're supposed to worship." And he says, "There's a coming a time where that's not going to matter. You think that I'm about to get caught up in a location?" He goes on to say, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews." She probably didn't like that. 23, "But an hour is coming. And now is." See, you see it? An hour is coming. And it's now. "When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers." He goes on, "God is spirit." I love the way that translation does it, because it doesn't say God is a. God is spirit, and those who worship him must, look at it, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, notice, those who worship him must dance. That's not what it says.
He says, if you're going to worship the base, spirit and truth, that you got to have it. If you're going to be my worshiper, that's true right now. That's true right now. I don't care what kind of talent you have. If you don't have spirit, that's worshiping outside of your flesh, and truth, that's reality, you're not a worshiper. Amen. Oh, she sure did sing. He sure did sing. So, even my teaching should worship. You with me? See, I'm going to show you in a minute. When you separate the transformational teaching from the radical worship, you don't get a holistic Christian. Even my teaching is part of worship. Are y'all with me here? We should be in worship as opposed to now that worship is over. We say that stuff. It's time for the word. What did we just have? Because if the songs don't contain the word, why did we sing them? Think about what we say. Because you shall have what you say. The Bible says faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Come on, hold on. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And death and life are where? Okay, if faith comes by hearing and death and life are in the power of the tongue, then the reason that death and life are in the power of the tongue is that everything that comes out of my mouth, I build faith in. When I say it, I hear it. And when I hear it, I start building faith on it. Okay, so if I keep saying stuff that ain't true, I'll have faith in what's false. This is why all of this stuff that we like, they mean no harm. I understand what they might mean, but they're creating harm because they're putting faith out there. Does this make sense? Okay. So we go on. God is spirit, verse 24. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he'll declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I, who speak to you, am he. Ooh, somebody said the other day, with all these viral views, they were like, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus claim to be God. And I'm like, what Bible are you reading? I really don't understand this stuff. People was all up under the post like, that's right. That's right. You speaking the truth. No, you're not. You're not speaking the truth at all. And so that's, worship is not confined to a song, it's not confined to a dance, it's not confined to a seed. Jesus, whose name is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee must bow and every tongue must confess, that Jesus wants 100% of who he created. He says, right? He wants all. And he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the reality is, many of us don't. Go to Romans 12. Now we're going to really get there. Romans 12, and we know this passage. We there? Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies. I hear pages. I love it. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Leave this verse up for me. Which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, King James, I know, say reasonable service, but the underlying Greek is service of worship. So you mean to tell me, we begin the passage with a statement, and the statement highlights the brevity of what Paul was trying to say to the Romans. It actually highlights something if you slow down, because y'all hear me say all the time, we read too fast. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, circle the word your bodies, so now it's personal, Now, he's talking to people who understood the sacrificial system, and they're not used to bringing themselves. Y'all with me? And he starts off something prophetic. Present your body, not your dove, not your cow, not your goat, your body. And I want it, now pay attention to the juxtaposition. I want it living and holy and acceptable. Whoa, hold on. You're talking to people who may have believed, like many of us, that you don't really reach being holy and acceptable until you die. And now I got Paul talking real reckless, talking about if you want to worship, the only way to worship is to be living holy and acceptable. It would have been difficult, and truth be told, it's difficult for some of us in 2024 to wrap our heads around being both living and holy. Because somebody lied and told us that sin was the foregone conclusion of the human existence. Okay, this is why I don't like this statement right here. Now, if y'all like it, then y'all not gonna like what I'm about to say. But I don't like the statement, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. I'm just a sinner. How? How can you be a sinner? That's one who practices sin. Why would you declare out of your mouth, I'm a sinner? And they say it like it's a good thing. Wait a minute. Death and life are in the power of the what? Faith comes by what? Okay, so I keep saying out of the thing that produces fruit, I am a sinner. To say you are a sinner is a declaration of being. It also creates a contradiction. Explain. Okay. How can I be a holy sinner? Come on, let's just walk slow. In order for me to worship, I gotta be living, holy, and acceptable. But I keep saying I'm a sinner. I can't be a holy sinner. So how am I a sinner saved by grace? Wait. Let me take you further. If you declare yourself a sinner, you also declare that you've been renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind, and some folk got the nerve to declare that you saved, sanctified, and full of the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. How in the world am I full of the Holy Ghost and it don't do nothing with my sin? If a transformed mind in the filling of the Holy Spirit is still powerless against sin, Y'all not listening. I'll do it again. If a transformed mind and the filling of the Holy Spirit is still powerless against sin, what abundant life did he come for? I see you. There's no way in the world that I can be full of the Holy Ghost and have a transformed mind and still be a sinner. Be one who is consistently, because to be a sinner is a practicer of sin. Go.
I have a question.
Talk to me.
Romans 10:10.
Uh-huh.
For unto the heart they believe unto righteousness.
Mm-hmm. They believe unto righteousness. God.
So if we're going on to righteousness, how can I be a sinner saved by
you? Can't. And watch this. Romans 10 takes place at the moment of salvation.
That's exactly right.
Right. You can't. It's impossible because it creates a... If he's telling me that in order to worship, I got to be living, holy, and acceptable. I can't be a holy sinner. How can I be an acceptable sinner? It doesn't make any sense. But when you say it over and over and over again, you start building faith in it. And before you know it, sin becomes normative because you keep telling yourself, I am that. And now all of a sudden, sin is so normative that when you sin, you think that's just what it is. And you no longer have, watch this, a sin consciousness.
Wow.
You lose your sin consciousness because you say stuff like, everybody do it. You're supposed to be full of them. How in the world did Jesus tell the woman, go away and sin no more? And he hadn't even died yet. He never even got her full of the Holy Ghost. He didn't even say he was God. He told her to stop it as her pastor. And he was actually the visiting evangelist. Go study the text. The other rabbis who knew her were already there. They brought him in to try to catch him up. He said, he who is without sin cast the first stone. They all ran away. He writes on the ground. Y'all. He writes on the ground. He takes his finger and begins to write in the material that she came from. Never mind. Y'all understand. And so he's sitting up there. I wish I knew what he was writing. Because maybe, just maybe, he's rewriting her story. Y'all know. I wish I knew. Because when God wants to deal with you, he deals with the substance that you come from. He went right back to the root. From dust you have come and from dust you will return. So y'all can go ahead. And while you're about to throw her out, I'm going back to her origin story. And let me take the finger of God and begin to write in the... I wish I knew what he said. We don't know. But all I know is he got his finger where she came from. Just like when he had to make stuff that wasn't there, he picked up mud and spit in it and made eyes. He always goes back to the beginning. That's why some of you right now are being forced with how did I get here? Some of you right now are being forced with going back to the beginning and redoing some things and rethinking some things. Don't feel like you have wasted time. God is one that when he wants to take you to the next level, he will always come back to your origin. So here it is. He tells her. He never says, I'm God. He never said none of that. He just says, stop it. She didn't even put up no rebuttal like we do. Because she knew she was wrong. Now, it would have been better for some of us, okay, if he would have said, go away and don't do this sin no more. Because, see, we would have said, okay, cool. I won't get caught no more. But that's not what he said. He said, go away and quit sinning. Now, oh, Lord. Go to Romans 6. Put up Romans 6, 1 through 11. Romans 6, 1 through 11. Come on, turn quick. Romans 6. It's all right. Take your time. Now go to your devices. Romans 6, 1 through 11. Romans 6. I wasn't going to do it. Wasn't going to do it, Melita. Sorry. Romans 6, 1 through 11. Y'all take your time. Y'all there in y'all's devices and y'all's paper Bibles? Here we go. They'll catch up with us. What shall we say? This is for everybody who still want to hold on to the I'm just a sinner. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. Oh, wait, this is going to get better. Man, never. How shall we who died to sin still live? Come on, y'all. In it. This is just as clear as what? That'll work. How in the world, if I'm dead, am I still living in it? Yeah, still not. Yeah. How are those who have died? How can, I don't even know what translation that is, but that works. Did that say NIV? The NIV? It's all right. How in the world? I'm struggling. So did you die to sin or did you just wound it? If I'm dead to it, for real dead to it. See, here's, be honest. I got to worship him in spirit and truth, right? Ain't that what the word says? Here's truth. I'm not dead to that. I can't handle that phone call. I'm not strong enough for the inbox message. Huh? Therefore, because I'm not dead, I'm off social media. Because I'm not dead enough to scroll. I'm not dead enough to have no conversation with you. I'm not being mean. It ain't you. It's me. I'm not dead enough to handle where you are. That's good. Not dead enough. Go. And even if you're dead to it, dead to That's my point. That's exactly the point. Because this is how we know some of us ain't dead. Because you keep responding.
Wow.
You keep responding. If I was dead to it, I wouldn't be responding to it. Therefore, I wouldn't have to repent of it. Ooh, Lord, y'all. Verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. I know, thank you, Lord. For if we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, watch it, it's going to get worse. Knowing this, our old self was, past tense, crucified, E-D, was crucified, that's past tense, with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with. Sin's supposed to be done away with. So the truth is, the areas of your life that are still dealing with sin are areas you haven't given him. Now, let me take that just a step further. And if you haven't given him everything, you can't worship. Because the Bible doesn't say give him your Sunday, holy acceptable. It said give him your body. He don't say give him your song, holy acceptable. He says, I want your body. Because I still want you worshiping when you're not at church. And when you make worship an event, that means that when you walk into your office, you don't understand that you're supposed to be in worship. When you show up to work, you still got to be wholly acceptable and present it. That word present your body, watch this, to present, make yourself available. Romans says, if you present your members as instruments of, come on now. So when you have to ask yourself this question, Lord, what am I available to? Now, to answer that question, you have to be truthful about your triggers. Okay. If somebody can pull the right levers in your life and cause you to behave a certain way, that means that your life is available to their emotional witchcraft. Okay? So if somebody can come into your life and say a couple of things, and before you know it, you're ready to throw them hands, that means that you are available to their manipulation. Because truth be told, watch this. If I'm driving down 3rd Street and I get down almost to downtown and somebody's on the corner cussing me out and giving me all manner of things, what I got to get mad for? What am I upset for? Well, but what happens is how you respond to a thing is often based upon what you feel about the person doing it. Which means that that person has access to manipulate. And if they have access to manipulate, that means that that person can disqualify you from worship. Careful who you give that ability to. Oh, it's quiet in here. Does that make sense? The only person that I should be one with outside of my relationship with God is my spouse. That's who you become one flesh with. Amen. And for all of my single saints in here, those who are not married yet, you're supposed to be one with the Lord. Huh? Amen. But all these thirst trap posts that y'all keep putting up, it's not going. Can't be getting all thirsty with your posts, talking about, you know, God, whatever you send me. Well, put your belly up. Cover that cleavage. Put your arms in. We don't need to see no more workout posts. Stop talking about outfit of the day. Stop doing all that. Because who are you impressing? And for married people, why are you showing your outfit to other people?
Oh.
Who do you want encouragement from? And are you dead enough to receive encouragement? How are you going to respond if you post your outfit of the day and somebody who you really want is going to treat you the way you really want to be treated slide in your inbox? Are they going to get to see what's under the outfit, or are you dead enough? The reality is that many of us are not consecrated enough for some of these posts that you say are innocent. Because if they attract the very dog that you're actually sitting there putting the hook out there for, you're not ready, okay, for what's going to happen. He's looking for worshipers. This is why we got to work so hard in church most of the time. Because people gather to worship and you're not worship ready. So we come in and we're like, I'm here to worship. No, no, no. You've been in inboxes. Hoping that somebody going to be like, hey, girl. Hoping that somebody going to be like, I saw you working out, bruh. Come on, man. We don't need to see that. In 2024, you've become so public. You've become so public. You grieve publicly. You cry publicly. You cuss publicly. You done become so public. And then when you got to get rebuked publicly, you get offended. Then you believe that those who are responsible for your soul is coming for you because you posted it, so I got to handle you on your post. Oh, wow. Now I recognize I'm not everybody's pastor. That's okay. It's okay. But the reality is, if we're going to be worshipers, he wants your body. Not a couple of hours of your day. Think about the stuff we say. I had a good time of worship this morning. So what are you doing now? Is your body no longer holy and acceptable? Make yourself available. That's acceptable, to make yourself available. Worship then is sacrificial. And without giving God what he is looking for in worship, we cannot be sure he accepts it. I'll do it again. I hope y'all heard me. Worship is sacrificial. I don't even know what time it is. Oh, I got plenty. Worship is sacrificial. And so if you're not going to give God what he's looking for, you can't be sure, Brother Art, that he accepts it. All of these setlist Christians, this is what I want to hear. This is what I want to preach. This is how I want to live. God accepted. God is like, that's not the way this works. Here's the way it works. This is what I want to hear from the Lord. So what the Lord is saying to us, this is how I want you to live. This is what I believe is acceptable. Come up to my standard. Are y'all following me? Bishop, it seems like that's hard. It's actually not hard. No, and let me tell you why it's not hard. Because he just gets to decide. All you got to say is yes. You ain't got... Okay, there's something in high levels of leadership called decision fatigue. It is where your willpower goes crazy because you have to make too many decisions. Right? Decision fatigue. This is why great people like the President of the United States, I know Barack Obama did it, Steve Jobs did it, Mark Zuckerberg does it, Tom Ford does it. They wear the same thing every day. They do that because they have to make such big decisions that they don't want to decide about something so mundane as what they wear. Okay, watch this. Being a Christian actually frees you from all decisions. He already made them. You just say yes. All this is hard, it's rough. No, 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 no. You're just lazy and you haven't made a decision. Just say yes. He already told you what to do. You don't even have to decide. There's no decisions to make. I want your whole body. You don't have to decide whether or not it's the left foot or the right foot or the right hand or the left hand. You don't have to decide whether or not it's Sunday or Tuesday. You don't have to decide whether or not it's morning. You don't even have to decide. You don't have to decide whether or not he wants you sometimes, not all the time. He said, I want your whole body. You don't have to decide what color or none of that. I want your whole body. I want it holy. I want it acceptable. Period. End of story. I've already decided. Your response. Yes or no? Yeah, that's it. This is it. Yeah. This is a yes or no thing. When you got to decide, you decide, I wonder if I'm going to go to service today. You know, it is a little dreary. But see, watch this. The reason that that matters is because we think that in here is the only place you worship. See, your music should be an expression of worship. Huh? When you, if there's a lifting of the hands, that's an expression of worship. Does that make sense? Sadly, a lot of the worship, as I said earlier, a lot of the worship in our churches is the worship of Cain. I said it before. Let's dig into it now. The worship of Cain is this. Take what I give you. That's the worship of Cain. And I can't believe you got a problem with it. And that's Cain to God. I gave you what I gave you. God was like, that's not acceptable. He was like, I can't believe you got a problem with this. The worship of Cain is worship that believes that because I think it's good, God should think it's good. Yeah. Oh, yes. He got angels. Okay. I ain't forgot where I'm at. He got angels around the throne. And you think that your little rehearsed two-step is about to impress the maker of the universe, who is surrounded by angels. He's like, I told you what I wanted. You gave me Cain worship. You gave me what you felt was good, what you practiced. On Sunday, I told Elder Brittany, I said, listen, when I get up, I'm going to be up. She says, oh, okay. Now, I knew they had another whole song. They had another whole song planned. Another whole song was playing. And when I came out, I was like, yes, time. And I went up then. Her offense would have been her problem. Now, she wasn't offended, but if she was going to be offended, take it up with Jesus. Because that wasn't personal. I'd already told you, when I'm up, I'm up. It's not personal. Well, because here's the thing. I'm at a place, especially when we're working as a collective. Let me speak to leaders for a minute. I can't fight with the people who's supposed to be pulling with me. Okay? When we have, and for those of you who were here Sunday, there were legitimately people in here, right? So I can't be fighting with the people pulling with me while I got to fight the devil too. All of our attention should be on the devil. Wait a minute. You're supposed to come in here already prayed up. Why I got to get you free and you on the platform? I shouldn't have to pray you delivered. Right? If you got something going on with you, leader, before you get up hampered, go to somebody anointed to help you so you can get free before you get up. But what we do is we say, I'm just not going to get up today. Oh. So instead of you telling the truth, you run till you can free yourself. But if you could free yourself, you would remain free. So the truth is, we got to be honest. And that is from the janitor to the preacher. I don't care who you are, anywhere in between. We're supposed to be pulling in the same direction. Amen. And he tells us what the direction is. Holy, acceptable. I need you living, holy, acceptable. Living, holy, acceptable. He wants us active. If the only way you can be holy is by becoming inactive, Lord have mercy. I hope that just hit somebody. I ain't doing nothing wrong because I don't go out. I don't never go out. I'm in the house all the time. I don't never go out. I don't have cable. I don't do nothing. I stay at home. Therefore, I'm holy. I'm holy. God is like, but wait a minute. I need you working. I need you living. I need you to be operating an abundant life in the world, but not of the world. Go telling others about how good that I am. And so if you can only stay holy by being a hermit, you're not really holy. You're just well restrained. You should be able to go out to dinner and still be holy. Amen. Don't be weird. You should be able to go to a movie and still be holy. Come on now. This is not a life where I can't do nothing. See, the truth is you're great at sin and you're bad at righteousness. So you don't know how to live holy. And many of us don't know how to live holy because we don't stay around holy people. Huh? You interact with holy people, but you don't do life with holy people. Okay, we're going to talk. You interact with holy people, but you don't do life with holy people. So you come in on Sunday and you interact. Hey, sis. Hey, bruh. Hey. All that little fake stuff you do. But you don't do life with holy people. And when you start doing life with holy people, you start understanding how to live holy. How to live holy. Huh? That's the way you're supposed to live. Live holy. People who have met me in places, ain't too many places I go that they don't know me well. I walk into a coffee shop, they be like, hey, Rob, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Your usual? Yeah, my usual. Huh? Me and the kids, one of the kids, they said the other day, I don't even know what day that was. They were like, you want to go to Skyline? It's like the one fast food place that we all like. And so, Skyline, we're going to go to Skyline Chili. And it's all right. Y'all ain't got to like it. I like Skyline. And so here's the thing. I go into the Skyline on Brown, and I walk in, and they were like, hey, your usual? Good to see you. Man, we ain't seen you in a couple of days. It's my people. To my people. We get to talking about basketball and everything. Just normal. Just normal. You want your three-way in a Coney? Yup. Water, no ice. Come on, bring that. Same thing. I'm not weird. If they only know you in the church, when do you do any work? When do you do any work? When? Here's the thing. Right. When you have the worship of Cain, what you're saying is, if you don't accept it, I'm mad at you. You're also saying this, when you have Cain-like worship, I will seek to eliminate what you do accept. When you have Cain-like worship, two things happen. I will direct my anger toward the one who doesn't accept it. That's God. But here's number two. Pastor, hear this. I will seek to eliminate what you do accept. So when you have a Cain-like worshiper, anything that is acceptable, they seek to eliminate. They always want to kill the Abels. Cain always want to kill the Abels, the ones who are able to do. Okay, the ones who are. Oh, that Cain, you shouldn't be doing all that. You shouldn't be doing all that. Why you always got to be the one showing up to serve? And before you know it, you start feeling some type of way about showing up to serve. Yeah. Now, serving used to give you light. You used to have joy. But since you start surrounding yourself with Cain worshipers, now all of a sudden you like, well, I shouldn't be the only one. I shouldn't be the only one. Some other people should do it so I can rest. Rest from worship? You want to take off from worship? That's odd. What are you going to do while you're off? what are you gonna do while you're not worshiping? You want to take off from presenting your body holy and acceptable? So you're taking a ratchet vacation? What are we doing? No, seriously. But that's what Cain does to Abel. They kill Abel, and then act like they didn't do it. Where is your brother? Who? Who? Who are we talking about? Where's your brother? I hear his blood. Some people's eagerness has been killed because we have Cain worshipers. Acceptable worship is worship which meets the Lord's requirements. I say it again. Acceptable worship is worship which meets the Lord's requirements. Third time. Acceptable worship is worship which meets the Lord's requirements. It should be living. It should be holy. It should be acceptable. He got angels. There's the standard. Y'all better get up. You see what I'm saying? We think we'd be worshiping real good. He's like, I have angels who worship my name. I woke you up, and you don't even want to say nothing. I got angels who literally have been singing the same song their whole life. And you get upset when we decide that we want to sit on verse one for a while. Because verse two ain't quite hitting like verse one is today. No, seriously. Because if God only want to hear verse one, we ain't going to verse two. God, you don't want to hear the verses at all? No problem. We'll just go right to the chorus. Huh? There's times where I go to start singing a song and I can't go no further. Well, we just gonna stop right there. Folks be thinking I lost the words. No, I ain't lost the words. Just ain't nothing else to say. Huh? Come on now. Sometimes I just feel like just draw me nearer. Like, I know it's verses. But see, them verses be a lot. I am thine, O Lord. Thou hast heard my voice. That's a lot right there. This is them too. Just think about it. I'm yours and you heard me. See, okay. I mean, make me a cot. Because if you really want to be honest about the stuff that you've done and I still belong to you and you still listening to me, come on now. I got sinners who done cut me off for less. Huh? I got other people who need God who don't talk to me for less. And God is like, I hear you. Let's talk. So why in the world would I spiral into depression over somebody who's just as desperate for God as I am, who ain't got it, who don't want to talk to me? Don't talk to me. Sit up there spiraling out of control because Pookie Nim ain't got nothing to say to you. Don't talk. It's fine. God talks to me. Well, no, it's a natural emotion, and the things of the spirit are not natural. Yeah, is y'all okay? I only have a couple more minutes. I'm taking them all. Transformation through the renewing of the mind is in addition to worship, not instead of worship. Oh, yes. I think I need to say it again. Go. I'm going back to Romans 12. Transformation through the renewing of the mind is in addition to worship, not instead of worship. Now, I need y'all to understand. We're going to read it slow. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of what? Now, go to verse 2. And. Oh, boy, Josh just started holding his head. And present your body holy and acceptable. That's worship. And don't be conformed. Notice, do not be conformed to this word and be transformed by the renewing of your mind is in addition to, not instead of, both and, not either or. I do it again.
Transformation through the renewing of the mind is in addition to worship, not instead of worship. Let me make it even more practical. They work together and they place the believer in the correct posture. I need to worship and get my word in. They work together. It's not, oh, so all of these people, man, we just got in the room and we just danced before the Lord and we just, where was the renewal of the mind? Sometimes you don't need no word. Wait a minute. Hold on. They work together and I need worship and. And so when you come in and you done went 4 months and there's been no study. Okay. Yeah, it's quiet in here. You just in your car and you crying and weeping with that Yanni worship. That string worship. You got that string worship going. And you having your daily soaking. You soaking before God. So you soaking and laid out. And the Lord's like, will you please pick up your Bible? And give me that same energy. Huh? Because in a minute you're going to become metaphysical. And you're going to be rubbing stones while you wallow on the ground. Talking about you getting close to God. It's quiet in here. We got Christians right now running around with mala beads around their neck. And they swear they deep before God. You got mala beads and you getting everything and your psyche realigned. You don't study your Bible. You cannot attempt to go all in what you consider worship and ignore the renovation of the mind, which requires a steady diet of the word rightly divided. So all these people are like, you know, Pastor, I just been at home worshiping. You ain't been to church in 6 months. And how can you hear without a preacher? Yeah, I just been at home worshiping. Now, if you're going to tell me you've been at home worshiping, you no longer feed me, I have found somebody that feeds me the word rightly divided. If that's where you are, then amen. God bless your heart and all your parts. Hope you get what you need. We not mad. Ain't nobody mad. Because listen, this church is not the only church. We ain't got no lock on truth. Right? This is not a cult. This is not a cult. I'm not the only person that teaches the unadulterated word of God. I'm not mad when you go listen to another preacher. Just make sure you're right. Because some of these jokers, they liars. Amen? And be careful when, watch this, the sound bite that you reposted is directly contrary to the life you know about. Talking about this is good, but they're not. So why in the world would you keep telling me to drink water out of this dirty fountain? It's water. It's contaminated. Some of us know where it's coming from. You cannot attempt to go all in on what you consider worship and ignore the renovation of the mind, which requires a steady diet of the implanted word, rightly divided. Number two, the opposite is also true. You cannot spend all this time in the word and ignore the mandate of radical, truthful worship. So you got Bibles and commentaries all up under your arm, and when it's time to lift up your hands, I don't do that. So you smart, but won't cry before God. Or you cry before God and don't want to be smart. Because some of that spooky stuff we doing, you got the word wrong.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Saying stuff that don't even make sense, pastors, leaders. Here's my favorite one. You know the verse. The deep folks. You know, the Bible says,
when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Well, God wanted the comma moved. He did not. The verse should have read, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood. See. Code check, please. Going crazy over the movement of a comma when the truth is, watch this, a standard is a barrier. So why in the world would God make a standard with a flood? That don't even make sense. It's a flood. A standard is a wall. And the way the verse reads is when the enemy tries to flood, God makes a wall. That makes sense. It don't make sense that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a wall. That don't make sense. But somebody thought that they was being deep. They was like, ooh, you deep. It's a Red Sea. He raised it like a Red Sea. Well, come on. But that's what happens when you don't understand. I have to have radical worship, but I also have to have radical transformation. You cannot ignore the discipline required for accurate spiritual formation, all in exchange for this euphoria that you want from radical worship. You want to dance before the Lord and twirl, but you don't want to be formed. So you twirling and dancing and, you know, feeling free in Jesus. And then you need to sit down and get your notebook out and take some notes so you're not weird. We need them both. Amen? We need them both. Because you can't get no more radical than the angels. They fly. See, you can't get no more radical than, I don't care what key you put me in. I don't care. I mean, you know, you can twist all over. You can put your foot on top of the keys. And the Lord is like, they're flying. The angels are flying. Do you really think I'm impressed because you put your foot on the drawbars? I don't care. They fly. Just give me living holy and acceptable. And then get in that word and get it implanted. The angels know God and they still worship. We barely know where Malachi is and refuse. Listen to that. The angels know God and worship. They know God and worship. Many of us have never read the Bible cover to cover, and we like, that's too much. All right. I'm through. Y'all learned something today? I could have gone another 30. I felt it in me. Let me pray. How many of y'all got challenged? Y'all sitting up there like y'all thinking some type of way. Y'all be all right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I honor you. I give you praise. Now, God, let us leave here not stunned by the revelation, but motivated by it. So that we'll actually be worshipers and not just talk about the worship we haven't given you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.